Love is the fountain of joy in human hearts, the cosmic mind in human consciousness. Cosmic mind is the great wisdom of the infinite. That creative principle that creates all things in heaven and on earth, in the inner and the outer. It is this cosmic law that is based upon perfection. And this perfection is love. Now you will say often, do you love God? And you will say, yes, I love God. Now I'll ask you a question. Can you love something you have never seen? Something you do not know what it is? Then your love is not love at all. It may be an idea, but it does not really love. To love God, you must love your fellow man. And only by doing so can the love of God flow through you, because God is love. That's the only way you can love God. But to love God in your mind, as it were, something you know nothing at all about, and the majority of people, anyway, have only got an idea of God, an image, a belief. But that is not God, that is not life. The past and the future are in the mind, but the ever-present life is the only thing that gives you consciousness, that gives you a power to think. This is cosmic in its nature. Because there is no division in it. Therefore, God is love. So I'll try and show you what the love of man is. And by knowing the love of man, we will get nearer to an understanding of the love of God. God is love, therefore love is not relative. It is a reality beyond analysis. You cannot analyze love. Immediately you try to analyze love, you have lost it. It defies analysis for the simple reason that is beyond mind. The mind of man can become aware of love but does not know what it is, only knows that it is. When love is in full force, the self does not exist, because love swallows up the self in his expression. When love truly exists, the self does not exist, because the self is an illusion. The self is that self that seeks and craves and desires. But love does not seek, nor crave, nor desire. Love is continually expressing itself because it is the nature of God. This is the great truth we must learn if we are to love and be loved. To be truly loved, there is union in which the self disappears. You should not try to recapture these moments because you make love relative. Just a memory. Love is not an idea, it is not a memory. What you have of love as a memory is not love at all, it's an experience. But love is continually expressing itself because life is ever present. And it is this ever present life in itself being complete and whole. And when we recognize and realize this truth, not as something relative, not as something in the mind, not an idea of life, but the actual expression and knowing of life. Am I not alive? Is it not life that gives power for me to speak and to think? It is this life that is behind all creation, exists in me and you. Love is always present and flows into the soul at any time the soul makes way for it. But when the self is in evidence, there can be no true love. If you want to feel the joy of love, you must lose yourself in love. The self must disappear before love can give expression to itself in its true nature. Perhaps you think you love your wife, your husband, your children. The great test is how much self is in your love. Do you do things for love, or do you do things because you love? To truly love, you must become love itself. You must become the expression of love. And where there can be no hate, no jealousy, no antagonisms, no desires, no cravings for love, you must become love. Oh, could I tell you the magnificence of love? You must find this out for yourselves. Most of our troubles today arise from the fact that as a child, our natural love, God's love, which is the Christ born in every human soul, born in us, died because it was never given a chance to express itself through the ignorance of our parents, who themselves did not know how to love. Yes, a wife or a husband may be a dutiful wife for her husband, and dutiful parents, but may have not learned the art of true loving. Most people are ignorant of this wonderful truth. If it is possible for us to realize the great power of this love, because it is behind the creation of all things, within itself it has the wisdom and the power, because love is the creative principle behind everything. It is cosmic in its nature. Without it, there could be no perfection whatsoever. Most have not, because their parents and their parents' parents did not understand what love meant. They thought that to love God was a virtue, and this virtue became a vice because they mostly saw evil in others. If they could not love their neighbor, they could not love God. If you could not love that which you see, how could you love something that you did not see? When Jesus said these words, "When you have seen me, you have seen the Father," he was giving expression to that love of God. So therefore he became the most loved person in the world, although at times people hated him for the simple reason they hated him for this purpose, because he was revealing their ignorance, revealing their selfishness, revealing their stupidity, revealing the self that was bound up in dogma and creed. So he came to destroy the bonds that bound man through those who created them. That's why he was hated. But those who know freedom have found in him that who was once man, immortality. There is no love in this kind of virtue. One may try to be good or try to be virtuous, but that is not love. That is going away from love. Love is an inward, unknowable virtue that takes no cognition of any of these things, for it itself is free, complete in all its goodness. It is like honey. It lives in its own sweetness. Most people are ignorantly and innocently pretending to be virtuous, while their minds are filled with ill will, antagonisms, and these so-called sins which they try to hide within themselves. While their whole mind is railing with this so-called sin, they try to repress it, hold it back. They are filled with ill will and antagonisms. Their whole mind is what I call a suppressed pot of ideas and conflicts. And you'll say that is virtue. That's what most people think virtue is. But I can assure you it is nothing of the sort. Without self-knowledge, mere sincerity is narrowness and gullibility. To become aware of escapes, distortions, hindrances will lead to order and clarity. And as long as you do not discern your own distortions, your own hindrances, your desires for escape, you will never have order or clarity in your mind. To be candid with ourselves, we will reveal our hidden dishonesty in contradiction. When the mind is set without fear, unafraid to find itself out, then there is virtue. Without self-knowledge, virtue is ignorant confusion and self-contradiction. Unless we can look at our thoughts freely, without fear, withholding judgment upon others, there cannot be clear thinking. You cannot judge another without judging yourself. It is quite true when Jesus said, "Condemn not, lest ye be condemned." That is one of the truest sayings the Master ever said. You cannot see evil in another and accept that evil is in yourself. If you were totally innocent, you would not know what evil was. But because you are not innocent yourself, you see the evil in others. If you can reason clearly, then your mind can become clear and free. But if you're caught up in this so-called virtue, then I say you're a liar from the beginning to the end, because there is no virtue in that which is so-called virtue when there is contradiction and confusion, ill will and antagonisms within the individual. It is said that love is the greatest thing in the world, but without becoming aware of the source of conflict and craving, love brings pain. There is no escape from love, yet without understanding there is torture. So the foolish blame love without understanding the cause of pain. Love never causes pain. Love expresses itself and frees pain in everything and in every way. The cause of pain is not love, but craving and possessiveness. There is sorrow in love when the mind is caught up in duality. We all know that when we love, there is sorrow in the loss of that love. Sorrow in the loss of the object of our affection. If there is hate in love, if there is fear in love, if there is resentment in love, then there is no escape from its torture. But this is craving and not love, which creates this dependence and all the sorrowful issues that arise from it. What is it that gives rise to uncertainty? Is it not desire for love? But love itself is continually expressing itself. It's a reality. It's a living expression of that infinite life That must be. The proof that I am standing here is proof of that life. But if I am caught up in craving, if I am caught up in jealousy, if I am caught up in fear, I cannot give expression to that love. That is a hindrance to it. This uncertainty breeds possessiveness, jealousy, and fear. In possessiveness, there is an inward fear and suspicion. This is not love, but inward emptiness, need for dependence. But dependence breeds fear and not love. So if you depend on others for love, you are surely going to fear. It is love itself that frees you from fear and gives you that wisdom, that understanding, and the cosmic flow of divine creation. Because love is the divine creation behind everything. You are that divine creation. I am that divine creation. And that's what makes us immortal. Without understanding craving, there is domination, oppression, taking the form of love. You dominate, you oppress, and you think it is love. Having the seed of uncertainty and contradiction within oneself, how can there be love? Love is beyond and above all these. Love itself is eternal and therefore not dependent. It is not a result of outer stimulation which nourishes a temporary feeling of well-being, an embrace, a kiss, a feeling for the moment of well-being between two people. That is not love. I tell you, love is something that is eternal and not temporary. Love will give rise to these things, but it is not love itself. Love is behind true expression. In love there is generosity, forgiveness, compassion. With true love, humility and gentleness comes into being. Without love, they have no existence. In love, then, we know what Jesus said to his disciples. Unless ye love one another as I have loved you, you cannot be my disciples. But if you love one another as I loved you, you will be known as my disciples. To understand this, you must begin to understand your thought, feelings, and actions. If your actions are the result of your ideas, your beliefs, your fears, your desires, there is no love. Love is not built out of these. Love is the eternal essence waiting to express itself when all this conflict and contradiction has ceased to be. Only then do we become the image and likeness of Him who created. True love does not bind another through possessiveness or dependence. Love is the expression of God who loves all irrespective of who or what they are. God's love is our happiness. That is why when we seek happiness, we can only get it from that which is within and not from without. Happiness is the greatest thing in the world. But most people are looking for it outside. If you love others, you will be concerned with their happiness. But how can you help others to find that happiness unless you have first found it yourself? Physical relationship itself is not love, but true love makes physical relationship beautiful and raises it up to the divine nature that created us in that way. We find that we are created now. It is the Word that was made flesh. When you know this love, you're always in love. Looking at a beautiful sunset, a lovely scene in nature, you can enjoy this as if you were one with each other. There is no need to talk or say a word because the self has disappeared. Love is not a mental or a physical thing. Love is spiritual. That is why one grows naturally in the surroundings of love. Love is not taking but giving in such a way that the other grows in the soil of love in freedom. Not dependent, but independent. If you are dependent, then you cannot love. Listen to the music for a few minutes. You can't do two things at the same time. Children and human beings at heart, that love is the most essential thing in their lives. Cause of most delinquency is the fact that the inherent love within has been thwarted. The world to these become drab indeed. We will bring that inherent beauty to the surface when we begin to love, for there is little wrong with those who truly love. When you are love itself, you are never angry when another does something wrong. There is a friendliness that leads to human heart, which leads to right thinking. Even the worst offenders will respond to love, and you will find that that inherent beauty within the soul will come to the surface. That love that is born in the human soul will come to the surface. It is only when it's thwarted, when it's held back, when these hindrances and any trouble in the world today with man we find as a distortion of his mind. He, man, is sick. Therefore, this sickness should be attended to. And it can only be attended to by those who truly understand the mind and man. To truly understand the mechanism of the mind and how the thoughts arise. How do your thoughts arise? Your thoughts arise very often from your circumstances or conditions, from your reaction to people and things. Is not often you think, if I had a knife, I would drive it into that person's heart, I would kill him, I would tramp on him. And often you have these thoughts in your mind, and what do? You oppress them. Oh no, I mustn't think that. And then, because you pray to God, then you say that you are virtuous, because you say you love God. Now, that is not virtue at all. Virtue is to discern every thought, not to be afraid of these thoughts, because you will recognize their reaction to things external to yourself. They are brought about by craving, by desire, by the self. Now, if you discern the self, you do away with all these things, and the natural love of God shall manifest itself. The sick in mind are people who do crime every day, people who hate, who steal, who do all these things, people who drink to excess. People who do everything like that are sick in nature because they do not understand. When you are loved, then you are love itself. To check, to criticize and denounce or punish is a hindrance to the true expression of the love of God that is within. Good citizenship is brought into being by love and not by harshness, both in the home and the institution. The beautiful wife, the clever child, the brilliant husband is excellent and brings approval, but that is not love. Sometimes the ugly duckling is more fortunate. I had a boy see me the other day, last Friday. So much love was bestowed upon that boy, yet he could not walk, he could not speak. He is improving and coming along because of the faith of the mother and because of the spiritual help that he is getting from the spiritual forces that are anxious that he should walk. And he is improving every day, where it is thought that he would be completely immobile all his life. He's now getting on his feet and walking. It's extraordinary when you think how these things come about. How often have you asked me for help for someone that you love? And that help has been given at once, and the life of that person has been restored. That life has been given back for a little longer in this world. So it is with this great spiritual force. This love is God's. I am the love of God. I am the life. Can it be anything else? I can't be outside God. I can't think outside Him because He's infinite in nature. This must be His substance, because there can't be any other substance because He's infinite in nature. Therefore, I am the love of God. Truly, I am the love of God when I allow Him complete control and activity through my mind and body. Love expresses itself through the touch of the hand, the tone of the voice, the look in the eye, the smile on the face, the absence of the self. O love, where art thou? The way to make children loving is to love them selflessly, respecting them as people, as individual souls, for they may be much older than you. Let them grow up with individuality. Some people smother their children with everything, doing everything for them, thus destroying their independence. When a child's independence is destroyed by doing too much for them, that is not love. Love is to learn them how to love. And love is wisdom, understanding, not foolishness. I know a man in my own home who was a poor boy one time. He grew up to be a great industrialist, and he had children, but he didn't want his children to go through the same difficulties that he went through, so he plastered them with everything, and they became nothing. If they had passed through the same as he did, they would have been something. But the plastering them with everything destroyed them completely, destroyed their independence. And so it is with everyone else. Some parents offer something in return for their obedience or for their good behavior. Thus buying off leads to disaster later on. When the child grows up, he or she thinks that they can buy themselves out of anything, and when this fails, there is frustration, disappointment, and misery. You must remember, never confuse the issue. Appeasement is not love. You must look deeper than the outer self to find peace and love. Some are continually caught up in the net of guilty conscience. Think of the prodigal son. The father never held anything against him. Only the brother, who lacked love, did that. When the father saw his son a great way off, he went to meet him. He never chastised him. He never asked him what he did with his goods or his share. We brought him home, and he entered into that house with love. But you remember the other son couldn't go in because he didn't love, and therefore he stood outside. He was the only person that criticized the other son. The father did, because the father was love, expressed that love of perfection. And you can't criticize or denounce anybody either if you are love. When you begin to realize the truth, you'll begin to love your neighbor as yourself. If you love your neighbor first, you'll be better able to love yourself. But if you are always seeing the bad in your neighbor, you're sure to find it in yourself also. The master said, take the plank out of your own eye, you hypocrite, and you may see better how to take the splinter out of your brother's eye. Live in reality more than you would do in the relative, and all will be well. Many illnesses have their root in carrying the burden too far and too long through introspection. Love is the cure. Lose yourself in love, and love yourself with love. This love does not mean that you love only your wife, your husband, your children, and a few friends. There must be a capacity to love, the capacity for goodwill towards all. This is the only way the world will change. If we hate people, we will be hated. If we dislike, we will be disliked. If we love, we will be loved. Why not try and follow the master's footsteps and see what will happen individually and collectively? World will be made over to love, and there will be peace and goodwill towards all men. Paul says love is very patient, very kind. Love knows no jealousy. Love makes no parade. Gives itself no air, is never rude, never selfish, never irritated, never resentful. Love is never glad when others go wrong. Love is gladdened by goodness. Love is always slow to express ill will, always slow to expose another, always eager to believe the best, always hopeful, always patient. Love never disappears. It is eternal. All other things pass away, but love remains eternal. The master said, I give you a new command, to love one another as I have loved you. You are to love one another by this. Everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, if you have loved one another. This is the message of the Master who was love itself, the blessed Son of the loving Father in whom we all live and have our being, and who lives in all of us, always waiting patiently for us to open to his love and beauty so that the Christ will be made manifest upon earth. That was the Master. He was free from fear, free from doubt, free from jealousy, free from ill will, free from antagonism. In fact, in the last moments he said on the cross, forgive them, Father know not what they do. And it was in Jerusalem, after his resurrection, that Jesus told his disciples to meet him in a spacious room they had chosen by his command. Now, this is his last appearance to his disciples. Jesus talked long with his disciples, for it is said that Jesus did and said much, that if it were written down, the world itself could not hold the written records. Jesus then instructed his disciples to go to a mountain he had appointed, and he would meet them there. When they saw him, they worshipped him. Yet even then, some were still in doubt. Jesus said to them, "Full authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth." Here was the great and mighty truth, the recognition of the one cosmic law, the recognition of the one cosmic life in which there was no division. The highest realization of this life itself was the infinite life itself expressed in the individual. Therefore, Jesus saw clearly that he and the Father were one, and it was impossible for him to be separated. Therefore, the highest and complete realization of his truth was the height of the great and immortal Son of God, in which is born in every human soul. Therefore, I say clearly and distinctly, Jesus was the greatest man that ever trod the earth. This is his words to his disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all the commands I have laid on you, that ye love one another. And at all times I will be with you to the very end of the world. Here is his most striking words that I see clearly and distinctly. I have laid on you that ye love one another. All nations, all peoples, that ye shall love one another. This is the love of God, the saving of the world. And there is no other way. Ideas, ideologies, conferences, and all these things will fall to pieces. The only thing that can stand is that eternal thing that never disappears, the love of God born in man. Not until man discerns his thoughts, his cravings, his desires, his ill will, and all the nasty, stupid things that take hold of him because of his craving self. Not until that is discerned, not until he understands these things that hinder the expression of this love, can there be freedom. Those who believe in the Christ and the love of God shall heal the sick, and will cause the blind to see, and the deaf to hear, and the lame to walk, and shall not be harmed, even should they tread on deadly serpents, nor birds should they pass through flames. You know now the secret word, the word of power, the secret things that I have told you may now be told to the world. Ye shall make them known to the faithful, who will then reveal them unto others, until the time will come when all the world will hear and comprehend the word of the truth and the power of the love of God and the Christ made manifest. That was his message. That's your message too. That's my message to you. His message to you. The great and mighty truth. Oh, how simple it is. But how complicated you have made it. How simple is the love of God in the little child. The innocent child that knows no evil, seen no evil. It does not know you. It does not denounce you or condemn you. Unless ye be as a little child, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. I want to show you something clearly to feel the love of God. It is stupid for one to counteract or to rebel against anything that is said against them. It is better to be lied about than to lie against another. And therefore you see all these words add up to this great truth, the love of God. The love of God cannot be known to you if you are possessive, if you crave, if you depend, if you are jealous, if you hate, if there is ill will. All these things must be discerned by yourself to recognize them so that you can dissolve them away. You are sick if you have these things. You are sick in mind and heart. You are tortured. And who tortures you? Yourself. I am now about to ascend, as you and all the world will follow. The gateway, we all pass through the same gate. We are here for a little while, and let us do what we can for others. It is said that we will not pass this way again. Perhaps some of us will. Because of the desire to help humanity, there are souls who have come to the earth to do this work, to help in the great, wonderful truth, to reveal the love of God. How can you reveal the love of God? Only by becoming love yourself. That is all. There is no other way. Then set your mind diligently, unafraid to find yourself out, because these things that are hindering you are deeper in your mind than you think. I am now about to ascend, as you and all the world will follow. For the Spirit that raised me from the dead will raise you also. Then he led them out as far as death. These words are so significant that the majority of people pass them by. For the Spirit that raised me from the dead will raise you also. Spirits shall never die. His disciples followed him to a place not far from Bethany. He met the Marys and Salome, met Martha, Ruth and Miriam, met Lazarus, and a host of others who had come from Galilee. Jesus then stood apart on the top of the hill and raised his hands in blessing and said, "The benediction of the Holy Ones of the Almighty God, and the holy breath of the Christ, the love of God made manifest, rest upon you all till you rise and sit with me upon the throne of power. As they watched, they saw a wreath encircling him and saw him rise upon the wings of light. They watched him ascend and disappear. Still they watched, peering into the sky, when two men in white robes appeared and said, "Lo, he will come again." Here was the eagerness, searching the skies, looking up. Yes, it is for us too to look up. It's symbolic of the truth. It is always upwards and onwards. Then the disciples and others returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were constantly in prayer and in holy thought for the coming of the promised power from on high, the illumination of the soul of the Holy Spirit from within. The news spread far and wide that Jesus had risen from the dead, and this was not denied by many rulers of the Jews, of which Nicodemus was one. It is also said that the Master appeared to Pilate, as he was in deep contemplation about what Jesus had said. He also believed secretly in his resurrection, and this is why Pilate gave an order that the followers of the Nazarene must not be molested in their worship in any part of his domain. Now, when the day of Pentecost came, Jerusalem was filled with pious Jews. As the disciples sat in silent prayer, a brilliant light appeared encircling them. They then became apostles of Christ. Each apostle spoke in the seven dialects of earth. The learned were amazed. They said, "Are these not the men who only spoke Jewish? How is it, then, that they speak all the languages of earth?" Peter stood forth and said, "Peace to all mankind." This was the love of God. The prophet Joel said, "Your sons and daughters will stand forth and prophesy. Your young men will be seers, your old men will dream dreams, and I will show forth the wonders of heaven above the marvelous signs on earth. And it shall come to pass that they who call the name of God in faith shall be redeemed." This is the Christ power, the love of God, made manifest, goodwill to all men. That is the glory of the truth. Now, find it in yourselves. You have it. It is there. You're alive and living. You cannot be alive and living except the ever-present life that is cosmic in nature, that is love itself, is living in you and expressing itself through you. Seek not the past nor the future, but live in that ever-present life, never looking one way or another, but keeping straight on. Benediction. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who remains beyond time and space, invisible yet visible, thy Son came and tore away the veil that hid eternal life and appeared in thy holy temple not made with hands. When I close my eyes and seek to grasp infinity, My brain cannot fathom thy infinitude. But when I open my eyes and gaze upon the eternal Christ, I behold thy eternal cosmic temple in freedom. And as I hear the throb of the one heart, and feel the one love, and see the one life in all lives, I know now he came to give love and to serve all. He appeared as immortal life to destroy death. He came as a babe to unite parents in a greater and selfish divine love, born in the child. He was a fountain of joy in human hearts. He showed the cosmic mind in human consciousness. And as he passed beyond the creation of time and space, I found immortality in him who was once man. The Word that was God, made flesh, remains immortal. I am the light. It is now entered into the silence of the silent healing power. Yes, cosmic in its nature. Peace and goodwill to all men. May the love of God be made manifest in each and every.